to hear Lauren.
Oh, I forgot. Wait, should we just keep going?
Okay, sure.
Hey, Lauren.
Hey, Sarah.
Welcome back to this week's podcast. We're going to talk about universal design this week. And it's super cool. It's kind of what Lauren's job is. And yes. She's going to go into a little bit about what that even means.
Yeah, so universal design is a framework for a lot of different things, for learning, design, just a way to make things more accessible. So it's something like in disability studies that a lot of them promote those mm-hmm. programs. So the idea of universal design is designing for everyone. So not just like people who are like quote unquote able-bodied or people mm-hmm. or just people with disabilities. It's for everyone. So it doesn't just benefit one community, it benefits all communities. And so just an easy example, like the main one that people go to is like curb cuts mm-hmm. because, of course those are good for people in wheelchairs so they can use sidewalks and right. get on and off the road, and those really weren't made even until like the 70s because mm-hmm. they weren't like required prior to then.
Right.
But they're good for like old people who can't step up on or yeah. down because their knees, or moms with strollers. Like it doesn't right. just benefit people in wheelchairs, it benefits a lot of other communities too.
Cool.
Or if you're just like on your bike. So that's kind of like an easy example to show how universal design is universal.
Right.
And so there's two different models like for the disability community looks at, and it's mm-hmm. the social model and the medical model. And currently like a lot of society would be it would be said that we use the medical model most of the time, which is the idea that people with disabilities have to conform to society. Like, they're the one with the disability, they're the one with the burden, they're the one that has to fix the problem.
Got it.
Because they're not, they're a minority.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a lot of how society is, mm-hmm. you know? And then the social model is what, you know, we would like it to be, which is kind of where universal design falls under, which is that, like, society and the environment should be designed for all.
Right.
And, like we can design the environment to remove barriers or even, like, remove barriers within society in the way that we think. So that's where universal design comes in, that we can change the environment to remove those.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, this is, like, that's a hard idea for people to understand. Like, even me, like, growing up and still sometimes, it's hard to not think, like, well, they have a disability, so
right.
they should just expect that there's things that they're not going to be able to do. Mm-hmm. Like, that's really hard to get over that thought. Just because of how we think, you know? And, of course, like, there are some things that maybe people won't be able to do, but mm-hmm. it's the things within society that, of course, they can do that we, like, as a people, or, like, prevent them from doing.
Got it.
And even in the name, like, it's disability.
Mm-hmm.
Like, disorganized. Like, you're not organized. Like, disability.
Yeah.
You're not able. And that's, like, not... Even just that term isn't the most positive.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
So, yeah, I think that's probably the biggest issue with that, and like bringing universal design to a forefront for people like architect majors and like
yeah.
people like design majors. Yeah, I'm sure that's part of their curriculum now. I don't really know.
I hope so. That'd be cool.
Yeah, and so there are 9 principles of universal design. We're not going to go through them all, but it's equity, responsiveness, simplicity, clarity and relevance, tolerance, low physical effort, low emotional labor, space for all to engage, and time for all to engage. And when thinking about all of those, they're like things that are beneficial for everyone, like low physical and emotional labor, like time for all to engage, space. These are usually things that are kept in mind when designing universally. For my job, so I work as a universal design intern for the U of A, and we just kind of are, like, during our meetings, we pinpoint areas on campus that just violate these principles, just as, like, a discussion.
Oh.
And one of the, when we were talking about physical space, one of the things that I thought about was a specific, one of the classes I was in last semester, the lecture hall was, like, every row was so close together.
Yeah.
Like, have you had those?
Yeah.
Where it's just like, why is this, this close together? But so there was, like, the lower part of the lecture hall in the front, and then, like, a middle aisle,
mm-hmm.
and then the top part of the lecture hall in the back. And the only spot where, for, like, disability mm-hmm. seating was, like, a single desk in the middle of the aisle.
Yeah.
Which kind of, like,
or, like, ours are, like, in the back of, like, a 300-person room. Like,
and,
all the way in the back.
Yeah, and then, like, to get down to the bottom, it's not accessible because it's just stairs. So that's your only option.
Right.
But then, even for people who don't have to use the designated, like, handicap spot, for my class, when if you didn't get there 10 minutes early, you'd have to sit in the middle because everybody sits on the outside.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, it should be if you get there first, you sit in the middle because then everyone has to, like, crawl over you.
Right.
And so, but these rows were literally so close together that if I got there, like, right as class was starting, all the, like, 10 people I'd have to pass would have to stand up, pick their stuff up, like, move their desk because it had, like, those desks that you pull out, just so I could, like, squeeze by and still have to squeeze by. And, like, if they sit down, then my butt is just, like, right in their face.
Yeah.
And, like, it's uncomfortable. And, that is an example of that. Like, that's high physical effort.
Right.
And, like, some people couldn't even sit in those chairs. Like, if you are physically, like, too big,
mm-hmm.
you can't. Like, there were some people who sat on the stairs.
Dang.
Because they couldn't fit through the rows. And, like, the desk that pulls out, like,
right.
if you're too, like, some people can't use it because it's too small. Or even, like, people who are left-handed, they all open on the right. So you have to, like, lean over.
Yeah.
And, like, those desks are just horrible. They're, like, not good for so many reasons. But, that's just, that was terrible. And then it also connects to, like, the emotional labor part, because I would get anxiety if I was running late.
Yeah.
To, like, oh, I have to ask, like, all these people are going to have to stand up for me just so I can, like, squeeze past them and sit down. And, like, I don't want to do that because it's, like, a burden for everyone.
Yeah.
And I'm the one, like, causing them to have to do it.
Yeah.
And so it comes to the question of, like, is the required amount of effort proportionate to the desired outcome?
Mm.
That's what we, like, brainstormed at my job.
Yeah.
So, like, is me having to do all that, like, get worried because I'm running a little bit late and have all these people have to stand up and move their things and me squeeze by, like, is all that effort, like, the right amount for me just being able to sit down in class? Like,
yeah. Interesting.
I definitely questioned when I was running late, like, if I should even go to class.
Yeah.
And especially the people who have to sit on the stairs. It's not okay.
Yeah, really. That's really not okay.
And that hall in specific, and I'm sure a lot of other ones like it, are a terrible example of universal design because it's not good for anyone. It's not good for people with disabilities. It's not good for people without disabilities.
Yeah.
Of all kinds. It's just not.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And, like, trying to look at the goal of the design of that classroom. It's like, was the goal student success? Or was the goal, how many people can we fit in this classroom? Mm. How many tuitions can we fit in here?
Right.
Like, that sounds a bit more right. Because it definitely wasn't promoting student success.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's, like, a good example I think of, because a lot of people can relate to that in one way or another.
Yeah.
And recently, this week, the Disability Resource Center put on an access walk. So they had students or faculty take people to some of the buildings that were just terribly, like, just not accessible. And one of them was physics and atmospheric sciences.
Hmm.
And so, like, at one point, I guess it was popular in, like, architecture, when you're designing buildings, to make the part of the building where most of the classrooms are on, like, 5 steps above where you walk in.
Oh.
So have you been into those buildings where you walk in?
And then you go,
and then you go up, like,
yeah,
what, 6, 7 steps, and then everything's there.
Right.
And so physics and atmospheric sciences is one of those buildings. But on that base level, before you take the stairs, there is 2 classrooms, like, really big ones. And so they have a lot of students who will be in those classrooms for lecture, and then they'll go up to the 4th or 5th floor and have lab afterwards.
Right.
And there's, like, no elevator that takes you up those 5 steps, so they have a lift.
Okay.
Which on its own isn't really the best.
Yeah.
Because it kind of definitely isolates you more.
Yeah, like, it singles you out. And
yeah,
like,
just for, like, 5 steps.
Yeah.
But the lift in there broke over the summer.
Oh my gosh.
And they still haven't fixed it.
So kids, like, can't get to their...
Well, so they can, because there technically is a different accessible entrance.
Oh.
So that's how they've gotten around, like, having to replace it. But this lift is literally so old, they can't even buy the parts that they need to fix it. Because they don't make them anymore.
Yeah.
So they'd have to buy a completely new one. But since there is technically a different accessible entrance, they don't have to. So we took, like, the accessible route. And you have to go outside, like, around the entire building. And this is a huge building.
Yeah.
And then you have to go down this ramp that is extremely steep. Like...
Yeah.
Like... barely regulation.
Yeah.
And you go in through the basement.
Okay.
Instead. And so then you have to, like, wind around in the basement, and there's, like, equipment down there.
Yeah.
And it, like, the staff member that was taking us says that he feels like he's entering, like, the back way, like, through the kitchen of
yeah.
the restaurant. Like, instead of going through the front of the restaurant, like, going through the kitchen in the back.
Oh.
And you have to wind around, like, the whole basement, and then go up an elevator that'll take you to that level that was 5 steps up. Because if you have a lab on the 4th or 5th floor, that elevator doesn't even go all the way up to the 4th or 5th floor. It only goes to the 3rd floor.
So then you have to...
So you have to get out on the, technically, 1st floor.
Yeah.
And then go around to the other elevator, which is on the opposite side of the building. And take that up.
Oh my gosh.
So it's, like, just to get up to where those 5 steps where you
yeah.
have to do this whole process, and then you're not even at your destination.
Yeah. And, like, we only have 10 or 15 minutes between classes.
Yeah.
And that process in itself is going to take 10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Plus they have to get to the building.
It's, like, your entire passing period.
Yeah.
Just
if
for
not
five
more.
Steps.
Like,
yeah.
you might be late.
Yeah. And the elevators were kind of scary. They're so old.
Yeah.
But, and recently, like, U of A just spent a bunch of money on the Honors College
mm.
and a whole new rec center. It's like, what message does that send when they can't even fix a lift?
Yeah, and, like, the lift is, like, so old that they can't even
yeah.
get, yeah.
And it's been broken since the summer. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then, so the next day, I decided to take all the accessible entrances.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see, like, if they were hard to find or whatnot. Because usually I can't see them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
this girl... Quick story.
Yeah.
This girl, in the class before me, used a wheelchair. And she literally couldn't find where to put get her wheelchair in, and so she was able to like walk a few steps but then fell, and then a few steps and fell, and so she like literally had to go like down all these stairs in the lecture hall to go to her professor and say, hey, I like can't find the wheelchair access, and like now my wheelchair is like outside, can you go get it? But like she had to like go up, like walk a few steps and fall, walk a few steps and fall, like the whole way down.
That's terrible.
Yeah, which is like, yeah, there's, yeah, it was bad.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's an example of like hard to find.
Most of them aren't easy to find.
Yeah.
They're like in the back and it's like, why can't they just all be accessible? Like, yeah. What would be wrong with that?
Yeah.
And that's like a big idea of universal design too. It wouldn't hurt anybody if they were all accessible. If it was all ramps to go into a building.
Yeah.
That could maybe benefit, that would benefit everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely not single anybody out.
Exactly.
But, so I was taking this ramp, and it was, the ramp was right up against the building, and right before you, like, step onto the actual ramp, there was a door, and so I was, you know, getting onto the ramp, and somebody, like, pushed the door, and it flew out and hit me, and, like, almost knocked me over.
Oh my god.
Because this door that was literally, like, right, like, not even a little bit far away from the ramp, it was right in front of where it began. It opened out.
Oh.
It didn't open in.
Yeah.
And so...
That's scary.
Like, I was getting on the ramp, and I almost got knocked over. If someone was actually using that ramp who needed to,
mm-hmm.
like, that's kind of dangerous.
Yeah.
It could have knocked them over. And I was just like, what? Like, the first day I decided to take all the accessible entrances, I get hit by a door.
Yeah.
Like, it made me feel so stupid and embarrassed. And that was definitely, like, an experience that made me think. Like, wow, like, I do this for one day and I'm already feel, like, humiliated because of...
For taking, like, a certain entrance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, good, because it definitely opened my eyes, because you can't, like, me as someone who is able-bodied, I can't, like, understand what a person with a disability goes through or how that actually makes them feel.
Right.
But me, even just, like, trying to... do that. I had this experience that I really wish didn't happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you... I encourage our listeners to try that out for a day or something. Like, see if you can find the accessible entrances to your classes or work, whatever, and, like, just see if people without disabilities can try to understand that feeling, too. With campus, like, where do you see the most money? Like, usually what the more money gets flooded into, that's where people's priorities lie. Wherever, in, like, a company or...
Right.
Wherever, like, wherever the most money is, that's the most important. So what would you say is...
Well... Yeah, on our campus, I think you hit, like the Honors College is brand new.
Yeah.
They, like, made a special gym for them in a cafeteria. So, like, definitely, like, the Honors College for sure. Like, my college, Eller, was just updated for, like, it's a pretty new building. Yeah, I would say that my life pretty much... is Eller, so I don't see a lot on campus, but yeah, I think that's the...
Yeah.
But, like, even with, like, Eller being brand new, mm-hmm. like, I don't... Yeah, there's not a lot of accessibility. Or, like, their, like, ramp in the front. You can go in the back, I guess, but in the front...
Who wants to go in the back?
Yeah.
You have to go in the back?
Yeah.
Just that is kind of, like...
Exactly. The ramp in the front is just super long and, like, ridiculously long, mm-hmm. where, like, I've thought about that while I was, like, walking up the stairs once. If I had to take that ramp, it would just take so long, and it's so steep, like, that would just be, like, my arms would be tired, and, like, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Because ramps, to be regulation, for every one inch of stairs, there has to be 12 inches of ramp. But that's actually pretty steep. Like, that's the bare minimum. What would be, like, comfortable is 16 inches per one inch, but there aren't a lot of ramps like that.
Because, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Because they can get away with... money or something. Yeah, they can get away with less.
Yeah. That makes sense. Dang. But I will say at Ellard, the elevators are pretty good.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
For everyone.
And they're, like, very, like, right... It's, like, right there.
Yeah.
So you don't have to search for it.
I think for... Probably not just for our campus, but for all colleges, sports and athletics is, for me, like, where I see the most money being
flooded into. Yeah. I didn't think about that.
Because they make so much money off of it.
Yeah.
And so even that, students, in my point of view, aren't usually at the forefront of design or money or updating anything. For design, like, where you put the most money is the most important. And I see that for our campus with sports and athletics. Is the goal for universities the students or more... something else?
Yeah.
I hate to be so critical because I love U of A.
Yeah.
I love U of A so much. But I think there's a lot of more things they could do to help their students than, like, building all these new centers and things. But
right.
I guess you could make the argument that that is also for the student.
Yeah.
Just maybe for certain students more than others.
Like, right.
Like students with disabilities.
Yeah.
And then, like, just to finish off, I just have a few more things to say. Have you heard of Gallaudet University?
No.
It's a school just for, deaf students.
Mm.
It's the only, I think it's, I believe it's the only university in the country that's specifically for deaf and hard of hearing students.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching a video on, like, how they designed their campus. And they design it, so they have, like, they'll have mirrors, like, placed around hallways so people can see behind them.
Nice.
And a lot of their rooms are, like, the walls are glass.
Hmm.
Or if they don't, like, or they'll be, like, that kind of shadowy glass.
Yeah.
You can't, just for some privacy, but then if someone's knocking at the door, you can still see that someone's there.
Even if
it's, like, that shower type glass. The hallways are wider. They have the rooms and aisles painted, like, blue. It's a bigger contrast for more colors. So then when you're talking to people and just interacting with things, like, your visual information is, like, enhanced. Or as much as it can be.
Yeah.
And then when just, like, thinking about all those things, like, I feel like those could be beneficial in any university.
Oh, for
like,
sure.
Like, even, like, mirrors on the wall, especially today, with people being so scared of an attack of some sort.
Yeah.
Having mirrors placed around the hallway, like, that wouldn't be a bad thing. If you could see if someone was coming up behind you.
And that's not, like, a very hard thing to
to
implement.
Yeah, even if it's just, like, a cheap mirror.
Yeah.
And then, like, wider hallways, like, that wouldn't be a bad thing.
Yeah.
Blue paint, like, maybe add some nice color.
That'd be cool.
But just all of the reasons for those things and, like, their effect would be positive for any environment. Like, that college was specifically designed for just that one community. But it could be also good for all communities.
Right. Nice. I feel like we need a part two of you telling us, like, what you specifically do.
Yeah. I was going to talk about, like, my project, because, yeah, for a part two, so I'm working with the Universal Design team, focusing specifically on the deaf and hard of hearing community. Yeah, so maybe I'll come back and talk about that more specifically, but I thought, in order to talk about that, like, people have to know what universal design is anyway.
Yeah, and Yeah, this is super cool and super eye-opening. It made me like think back to like, okay, my daily, like what does my day look like? And if I were to do these different things, like take different entrances, like how would that look? Like it just made me think a lot, yeah. You know, so.
Well, maybe try taking those now, and then if we do a part two, maybe you'll have some experience to share. I mean, hopefully not.
Yeah.
It all goes well, but...
but...
It would make for, you know, an interesting story, at least.
Yeah. Thanks, Lauren, for talking about that. It was super interesting and definitely, like, something that hopefully is talked about more and, like, as we become more, like, socially aware of stuff like this, I feel like. I'm hoping that's kind of where our generation is going. But, yeah, no, it's really cool that... Like, it's cool that you have this job and that you're learning so much, and I'm excited to hear more about it, and I hope we do have a part two.
We can have
a part two. Yeah, I guess we're in charge of that. But yeah, thank you so much.
Alright.
Cool. Real quick, if you guys want to find us on Instagram or podcast.qlc, we have an email, which is also podcast.qlc@gmail.com, and, we have a Facebook, and yeah, which is Quarter Life Crisis.
Yes.
So yeah. So go find us. If you want to be on our podcast, hit us up.
Please hit us up.
Yeah. We love hearing about like all sorts of different things. So please let us know. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Or in 2 weeks. We'll see.
Or in 2 weeks. Bye.
Bye.